Horford double in. Layup blocked, but it's picked up and scored by Harris. And we got a fight. We got a ball fight. It's Carl Anthony Towns and Embiid. A scrum under the basket. Sixers coach Brett Brown is there. Horford missed the layup at one end and at the other end. An absolute brawl. Oh, my.
Oh, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Josh Rabig is producing. I wanted that played right there because I get to be joined by my man Joe Torti, and I get to his initial reaction from that, even though he already knows what happened, but get that reaction from that noise. Not noise. Great call by Tom McGinnis. JT, what's up, man?
How we doing, D? It's good stuff. I got to think. It's the most. I think the most. We lasted longer than I thought. That's the most Philadelphia thing in existence in 2019. That, like, through four or five games, you look like you're at worst the second best team in the NBA. You're like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. But what I really want is Joel Embiid beating up on somebody from a terrible team that's not going anywhere. That's what gets me going, man.
Oh, man.
I was like, the fact that that blew up more than anything that the Sixers have done so far, I'm like, yep, that's on brand. There we go. That's exactly what I would have expected from us. Good job, us. We lasted longer than I expected, though.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween, D.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, man.
To you. Happy Halloween to all the people out there, and Josh Rabig producing. Happy Halloween. And yeah, man, that was last night. Joe, if you haven't heard, I love what happened last night. And you know, we've talked about this plenty of times where I said, I love toughness.
Yeah.
I love it on a team. And this is something that hasn't been there for this basketball team over the years. When Mike Scott arrived last year, I was all in because of that part where I thought it was someone tough coming in to this team that could, you know, just send. How many times do I sit there and watch a Sixer game and Brett Brown is arguing with an official over a bad call, a terrible call that he didn't like? And I'm like, Brett, get a tech.
Right. Yeah. Show him something.
Show your team something. Yeah. Right. And but I get this last night. And I loved it. Now, I didn't want anyone to get hurt.
Well,
I'm never rooting for that.
It would have been hard in Pancake Fest like it was out there for anybody
please
to
go.
Really get it. You
go.
Know what I mean?
Please go, yes.
Because, like, to be fair, people, it did initially look like it was a full-on melee. Like, you know, it's a brawl out there. And I was thinking, oh, boy, is this going to be one of those, like, black eye for the league kind of games where Adam Silver's out there talking about it and is like, oh, the safety of our players and fans of the utmost importance, blah, 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 blah. And in reality, it was just like a bunch of dudes laying on each other. By the end of it, you know what I mean? It's Ben Simmons laying on Carl Anthony Towns. It's like the entire bench lying on Ben Simmons. Like, it's, you know, good, clean, wholesome family fun.
Yes.
Maybe like a step below that.
Yes, yes.
That's what it was.
But it was fun, man.
It was fun.
But I said, and I was asking the question outside of, did your opinion change overnight? Because I know a lot of people really got into it with what was said on Twitter and Instagram between the two players. And I didn't like that part. That part I did not like. And apparently when Shams Charania reported it earlier when he broke the news that only two games for each player, which I thought was light, and I'll get into a tweet that I just got about that, that I thought that they got off easy. And, you know, they were trying to – it was just one of those things, Joe, where I was like, all right, cool. You know, this is cool. Everyone knows you're good. You know – You're a top team in the NBA. That's not surprising anyone. Now people are going to really try to challenge you and see where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Toughness.
Sure.
From time to time. See how tough you are. And that showed a little bit last night. And I'll say it again. I've said this for the third time, but I want to say it since you're here. I'm not going to confuse and be for a title fighter now.
Right.
No. And I don't expect him to get into another fight. I expect him to get some texts from time to time because he's going to get into some and forths with people. But I liked what I saw because I get the sense that this team has a different attitude about them.
He might be a pro wrestler, though. I mean,
he could do that.
Like,
you know, he would do that.
But, like, did you see the stuff on Instagram and everything else after
like
that?
It.
So, the thing that I need to get to the bottom of.
Yes.
Is the dude who runs Carl Anthony Towns' Instagram account says we don't delete anything. No replies, no nothing.
Somebody said that?
Yeah, he said we've never done that. We've never deleted anything, blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't run his own account, okay.
So I guess that he might be like front and center with it, but also has people to help out that run the interactions. You know what I mean? Where maybe Kat makes the posts and somebody else deals with like the interactions. Because, as you know, smartest thing you can do on the internet, don't read the comments. Just keep it moving.
Stay away.
So the working theories are this. One, did Embiid hurt Towns' feelings so bad that they deleted it? Or did Embiid post it, then delete it himself, and say that Karl Anthony Towns smear? This is what I'm saying. Like, it's getting deep. I gotta know. Because Embiid is so smart, this is something that Embiid would like. He's social media savvy.
I didn't know that it was deleted.
Right, the big long thing.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was deleted.
So I got to go back and double check that.
All I saw later was the fact that he put out there that he's no longer doing anything on Twitter, that he was bailing out.
He's done trash talking.
I'm done trash talking. I'm done. And I was like, okay, I like to hear that. He'll wait a little while longer. He'll get into somebody's head in the game. And the next
I'll give him 10 days. I'll give him 10 days before he's back on social
media. Some time.
Yeah.
He's got some time because did you expect a bigger suspension?
I did expect a bigger suspension, but I thought that you were exactly on the money. Because I think that in any situation, if somebody tries to punch you in the face, your reaction can't always be expected to be to like turtle and run and hide and things like that. People just don't respond that way, right? Like physical harm that's coming your way, sometimes you try to protect yourself. So I didn't think that he would get the same as Towns. Like that's what surprised me the most, I think.
So I said 5-3.
I thought you were right on the money.
Towns more and be the 3.
Even symbolically, don't you have to give Towns one more? Three and two.
In my opinion, like I was talking to Stan earlier from Drexel Hill, he called in, great caller. He said he was down at the game and it didn't look like to him that Towns threw a punch. He looked like he was trying to kind of grab Embiid and wrap him. But no matter what his intention was, the look of it is the look of a punch being thrown.
And that's what matters.
And then Shams pointed out that the extracurricular on social media played a part into those guys getting the amount of games that they ultimately did, the two games.
Right.
So in essence, Joe, they probably could have only gotten one game apiece.
Yeah,
they weren't barking at each other on social media last night.
So what do you make of that? Right, because the toughness thing is something that's important to prove. If you're going to be a tough team, people don't want to think that they're playing against like a paper tiger. You know what I mean? Where you could get into them and they'll crumble and stuff like that.
Yes.
But at the same time, this is with respect. That's not Josh Richardson getting suspended for two games. You know what I mean? Or three games or five games.
Franchise player.
That's your dude. You know? So how do you balance that?
Well, for me, it was, number one, it's early in the season. Number two, yes, you did shove and you kind of, you did instigate, but not to the point where you thought Karl Anthony Towns would go the direction that he ultimately went, which was taking the swing. What we've seen is nose-to-nose, face-to-face, chest-to-chest, somebody come breaks it up, you get two texts, and let's move on, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I didn't mind it because, again, Joe, these two guys, your two-star players, have been looked at as soft players. Even though Embiid is so dominant with his play, Marcus Smart has thrown a basketball at him. Andre Drummond has challenged him, ultimately losing. Some other players have challenged him as well. So, Kyle Lowry, Marcus Morris challenging Ben Simmons.
So this is a step up, I think, by the way, for Embiid because...
Yes. Oh, please.
Right? Before I talked about this, I don't care about you punking Andre Drummond.
Nope.
Like, that doesn't mean anything. Jared Dudley versus Ben Simmons does, like, absolutely nothing for me. You know what I mean? Like, that's a ridiculous thing. At least, even though Minnesota stinks, at least Karl Anthony Towns...
Is someone.
Yeah, like, that's at least... I think that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So
pick better fights.
No, I totally agree. So Jamar on Twitter says this, Joe, at JSpiz83, and he says, how did you think they would get suspended more games when you take the Chris Paul and Rondo suspension into consideration? That one was way worse. And that was Brandon Ingram out 4 games, Rondo 3, Chris Paul 2. For their role in that fourth quarter fight last year, whenever it was, October 21st, 2018, on the Saturday night. Well, I say that, Mar, because while I wasn't looking at that, and thank you for sending those games, I'm looking at it as 4 games in. It's the first altercation of the season that I can remember. Maybe there was something else that has already happened, but I can't remember. And they wanted to make sure they made an example out of these two for this specific incident. And that's why I thought they would get as much. That's why.
Mm.
That was me, Jamar.
Mm.
Okay, you were right. I was wrong. And I'm glad Embiid only got two. Because I thought he wasn't going to play in all four games anyway due to load management.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
it's the truth.
If it was 3 or 4 or 2 or 4, he was not playing in every game, in my opinion. So that was it. So, again, Joe, to answer your question, I just simply liked that.
You liked it all.
It was, yes, it was the star player. As you said, it wasn't Josh Richardson. And with the reputation that these two have already had, Simmons and Embiid, it's not going to turn them into MMA fighters, but
right,
at least something happens now, maybe, in terms of, yes, walking away, but maybe I'll stand there and take a tech because you're not going to punk me the next time down the floor.
I found what I was looking for.
Okay.
It's Chucky.Anthony on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And the post is, yo, this man left a comment for 1 second and deleted it, claiming Cat deleted it. I've been running his IG for 3 years now. We ain't never deleted one comment. This man is weird, all cap.
Embiid?
Yeah.
Well, we know Embiid is different.
Oh, he's definitely weird. Like,
well, we know that.
Strange,
yeah.
But that's okay.
We know that. Guess what? Get a championship.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I do think that it's in character for Embiid to do something like that, to post something and then...
Absolutely.
But that doesn't bother me even a little bit.
No, because that's who he is.
That's just... Exactly.
Now, first of all, you shouldn't have put it up, but it's all good.
It's fine now.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Let's not do it again. 610-632-0975. So the question, Joe, was simply, did your opinion change overnight because of the stuff that happened with social media? No, it did not. I just did not like the social media. When we got off the air last night, that stuff had not happened yet. And while I did not like that, I still sit here with you and say, and talk to the people, 610-632-0975, and say, I still liked what happened because I think it shows a different type of attitude with this team, knowing that this is something that has been put out there about them. And they were trying to do something totally different. I like the Mike Scott role in it, standing on the side, flexing. When Embiid does his stuff, and Embiid going right to him saying, basically like, did I do that right? How did I do that right?
How did I do, Dad?
Big bro, how did I do? And he got the approval from Mike Scott.
The shadow boxing on the way out.
Which I thought was really bad.
That's what I mean. Like, if you're the league, you know, you have Embiid step into your office, right? You're
because they know what kind of guy he is. They know it's not anything malicious.
Let's talk about your level of remorse. And Embiid's like, yeah, you know what? Immediately, as soon as I did it, I felt really bad about it. They're like, great, let's talk about this. And then the projector screen rolls down. He's doing the shadow boxing and pumping up the fans on the way out.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez.
So you do get a different sense of the attitude with this team?
For sure.
Before games?
100%.
Even before that, did you get a different sense?
Yeah.
Basketball-wise.
Here's the thing. We've been talking about the Sixers for a long time. And
yes,
since they've been good, I've told you that I thought that they were a team that could be had. Like, I thought that there was a team. Like, Boston in particular knew exactly what buttons were required to get under
yes.
their skin.
Great point.
And take them off their games, right? It's like, don't worry, Embiid. You're a monster. You're Godzilla. But we're going to put out a 6'9" power forward, and he's going to shut you down. You're going to have nothing to do. Ben Simmons, you can be as good as you want in the regular season. All we're going to do is have Aaron Baines just hang out near the three-point line near you, and that's going to be enough to throw you out. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's literally the things that
yes.
Boston would do. I just think that from a style and a physicality standpoint, they're way tougher than they've ever been.
Yeah.
But also, you saw some of the mentality there, and it is having Horford. It's having, who didn't look overly happy, by the way, that everything was going on, but
he stood back and he even remarked after the game that there's no place in the game for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't look overly happy.
He didn't like it. He's an elder statesman in the league, and he didn't like it.
But he's a hard nosed player,
yes.
Not like the extracurricular
player.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mike Scott looked like he was literally
thrilled.
For everything.
He's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'll handle this one.
You get rebounds.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll handle this one. 610-632-0975. At Jay Gridlock on Twitter says, I like that the Sixers are showing toughness, that they won't be pushed around. I don't understand why people think Simmons is soft. Maybe it's the accent, baby face. He's not. I agree. Embiid needs to tone down the social media and leave quote-unquote moms out of it. Now, again, he wasn't talking about mom. He was just simply pointing out since mom gave the bird, Karl Anthony Towns' mom gave the bird to Embiid as he was walking out. I didn't want him to include her in any of the captions that he had already put out there.
And I heard you say that. How come? Like, why specifically?
Oh, because this is between them two. Moms are going to react.
Mm.
Don't put mom in that. Mom was doing what moms do. That's why someone had to pull mom back when she was standing above the tunnel doing what she was doing. Yes, mom is in it, but mom's not in it. You leave mom out of it.
See, for me, I'm like, mom's at the game. Nobody's putting mom's arms up. Nobody's bending mom's arm, like
that's
hands
what she was
and
doing,
making
sure.
Her do that. So, I mean, for me, if I'm
she's
Embiid,
fair game.
I'm taking on everybody.
Yeah,
I'm
out on that. I disagree on that.
Your coach, your mom, whoever's involved.
At 76ers39 on Twitter says he didn't talk about his mom. But the only thing is, today's athlete in basketball and football, they're all out of control. Westbrook, Durant, Kyrie, Sherman, Bell, Brown, Ocho Cinco, T.O., etc. I hate it, but it is what it is.
Out of control?
Out of control. I don't see it like that. But
well, I mean, truth be told, I kind of do. So, like,
out of control?
Well, I mean, those guys that he mentioned?
Antonio Brown is out of control. Bell, Sherman. They're not out of control. Even Westbrook, Durant, Kyrie, they're not out of control.
There,
they just have different
moments when some of those guys are out of control.
Out of control is Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown's like harmful to people around him and himself, like allegedly.
Westbrook, Durant, and Kyrie, they're not.
Well, so
not doing anything. You just say weird things. The earth is flat.
Well, so you don't think that like. For Richard Sherman, a guy who's like totally calculated and under control
Yes.
90% of the time, yelling at Aaron Andrews about Michael Crabtree wasn't a moment of like losing control over your emotions a little bit?
Yeah, he lost control of his emotions that night. He lost his way.
Little bit.
He wasn't like, directing that at her.
Antonio all of those
Brown
guys
just.
He's an out of control person. Those guys have
stuff.
Have at times.
They have stuff.
Had outbursts like that. By the way, and that's why. If you're Embiid, that's why. Because you didn't say anything about the guy's mom, but if you just mention the mom, and that brings him to like this red boiling point
but
level that you got him. But you don't know.
Yeah,
you got to try.
Right, because he's...
you got to see.
I'm not trying it.
You got to test it.
I'm not trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not trying it. 610-632-09.
Don't say anything bad about mom, though.
75. Nah, you got to leave mom out of it. It's just you just leave mom out of it. Let's go to 610-632-0975 if you want to jump in. Two open phone lines if you want to check in with us here on The Fanatic. Let's go to next, Andrew in Phoenixville. Been hanging on for a bit. What's up, Drew?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Andrew.
Good to see some Broad Street bullies, except for the Flyers.
Some toughness out there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's nice to see that... we're not going to get pushed around anymore. We used to be a laughing stock, but not anymore. And it's nice to see that toughness. Now, I noticed you guys were talking about past fights. You guys have forgotten about the biggest fight that included fans as well. And I can't remember who it was that was involved with that. It was at, I think it was the Pacers, when one of the players,
the Malice in the Palace?
The Ron Artest, like.
Yeah, when he ran into the.
Yeah, this was different.
Players and fans.
Somebody threw a cup at Ron Artest and he was like, all right, let's go. And
yeah.
Ben Wallace, if you remember, Joe, Ben Wallace had finally had enough and attacked Andrew. Ron Artest, he had already had a lot going on because I think it was his sister or brother, someone in his family passed away. So he was already on another level. And then this stuff happened. And that ultimately worked out the way it did with the Malice in the Palace.
And that's what I'm wondering about, the number of offenses that Ron Artest and those players have had versus this fight, when obviously I can't remember the last time or even if at all that Joel Embiid ever got into a fight. That's why I'm thinking that two games is plenty enough. Maybe even one game should have been enough because maybe this was his first offense. Now, obviously, with the other players, Ron Artest and everything, you know that they had history of being heated and, you know, getting in scrumbles and of that nature. Maybe I can't remember how many games they were suspended, but I'm sure they were suspended.
For like 20, and Ron Artest was suspended for the rest of the season.
The season, yeah, exactly.
So I'm wondering if it just, Commissioner Silver you know, gave him the two games because, you know, this is their first offense. And maybe that would have been the reason why.
Yeah, and maybe so. And these guys typically, even though they're in being specifically, Drew, thanks for the call, has a reputation of being vocal and
provocative.
Yeah. It's only on social media and having, they, you know, they can tell the difference between what's real and what's not real.
Yeah.
He's never, like I said, anything malicious with what he's doing. So I don't, then maybe that does play a part in it. But they also, I felt, Joe, to again the point of just wanting to let everybody know around the league, this is the first one that's not happening.
Well, so in that game in particular, I'm glad Andrew brought it up because that also changed the way that the league was viewed and the way that they police themselves, right?
Like real.
I mean, before then, you to get suspended, I mean, D, you remember this, to get suspended before that, you had to like to really go for it.
Yeah, you had to really do some things.
You had to, and now it's like anything that is... Because it was a black eye. I mean, it was. People were like, oh, this, I can't believe people say it was a black eye. It was a total
national
black eye.
Story.
100%.
It wasn't just a sports story. It was a national story.
It became a news story.
Yeah.
So now the league, there are no such things as slaps on the wrist anymore. Like, you know, everything that could possibly ever escalate into a situation that's embarrassing for the NBA is going to get the suspension treatment.
Right.
That's the way that it goes now.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. The 7 o'clock hour, guys, was brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com, 610-632-0975. We're talking about not even close to a malice. Throwdown Thursday it is tonight with everything that happened at the center last night on Wednesday. I'm just kidding. It wasn't a throwdown, but it was fun and I loved it. Am I wrong? 610-632-0975. Joe didn't have a problem with it either. We want to get you guys' sense. Did your opinion change overnight? And do you get the sense that this team has a different attitude about them? Right now, they're 4-0 on the season. Josh Rabick is producing. 610-632-0975 to speak to you right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Woo! The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you until 10. And then Joe goes until midnight. Solo, 610-632-0975. Every time I look at the video, Joe, I'm locked in on the video.
I wish I'd found the video. I'm looking at a still shot because, like, there are some angles that I said where, you know, I saw it for the first time and I was like, yeah, I don't really see Simmons choking Karl Anthony Towns. It's more like a life-saving kind of situation where you go over the shoulder and under the other armpit or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking. The thing that I see, it's just, first of all, you talked about, did you see the guy in the suit going down? And that's perfectly encapsulated in this picture.
You saw it?
Mid going down. And then the other thing, the reason that I'm laughing is because I didn't get any clarity on whether Simmons is choking the guy or not, but I do see Simmons' eyes like rolled back in his head. It looks like he's biting Anthony Towns' ear, and he's like, ah!
See, yeah, I was looking at that one, and I was looking at it as if he was whispering in his ear, like, dude, don't do it. Just don't do it. There's
God.
No need to do it.
I'm sure he's just in the middle of a blink because I always look so weird in the middle of a blink, but it looks like he's like channeling something, you know, Halloween-esque, and be like, just in the middle of his ear.
Too awesome. Good. Too good.
It's great stuff. Pictures are awesome.
Did you think Ben should have been fined or suspended?
No.
Neither did I.
I thought that he and Teague actually were doing what the league would want those two guys to be doing.
And I mentioned Teague because if they were going to do anything with Simmons, it had to be something with Teague because he grabbed Embiid and threw him. And I was like, man, that's some strength right there.
Yeah, but first of all,
right.
Whoa.
But if you're going to do anything with Simmons, you had to do the same with Teague.
I agree. So I thought no harm, no foul from either of those guys was cool.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving on the phones. We head to the Lehigh Valley with Colin on 97.5. What's up, Colin?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Colin.
Hey, so I saw the fight, right, on the Sixers game. Saw it live. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm glad that, you know, we actually fought back. And, that's silly. You know, not getting pushed around. I love that Ben stuck up. Although I do think Towns is kind of a baby now, and I think he should be automatically booted out of the MVP conversation because he tapped out.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's certainly not going to be claiming the heavyweight championship belt at any point. Right, I think that's off the table for sure.
Yeah. But I'm glad that, you know, our team stuck up for each other. I like that Embiid was shadowboxing. It was a good show. I liked it. It was great.
Yeah, it was, man. And the shadow boxing part, though, I was like, you need to do a little bit better with that.
You weren't on with that?
No.
Because of the quality of the shadow boxing or because of the...
Well, you didn't need it.
Oh, okay, just, yeah.
You're at home. You already had the crowd on your side. All you have to do is this normal...
If you do it on the road, are you going to win the crowd?
No, you're not. But that's what I'm saying. You don't have to do anything. You just do what he normally does, which is, come on, bring the noise, bring it, and it's cheers and all that stuff. And it's shadow boxing.
I'm sorry. I'm
watching it again, and it's hilarious.
Well, so you watched the shadow boxing, right?
Yes. Really bad.
And then, well, I mean, first of all, you know, I've got some things to say about it. But
to the gym.
The first thing that I thought of was, you're 7'1". Who are you throwing these punches up at? You know? Like, I'm watching him shadow box. I'm like, who's up there that you're trying to hit?
Angle that down.
Angle it down.
Although... He's standing next to a 7-footer.
That's true.
That's who he was really targeting.
That's true.
That's who he was targeting.
The whole thing was just bizarre. I mean...
I loved it, though.
I wonder if... And I do wonder this. I wonder if it's going to get boring watching the Sixers. Like, I wonder if they're just going to be one of those good teams...
Defensively.
That doesn't, like, flash you or anything like that. Like, you're not going to hit, like, a million threes like the Warriors. Yeah. So, the stuff like this, we're just going to be like, yeah! You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be, like, to wake us up every, like, 10 days. Sure. Oh, yeah, the Sixers are good, but did you see what happened when they played against the Magic? Let's go! Yes. You know, I wonder if that's going to be the case.
Hey, as long as they rack up those Ws
that's
and
it.
41-6, I'll take it.
See you in June.
I'll take it. See you in June at the center. With the game number one, by the way.
Yeah, yes. With game number one.
610-632-0975. We head back to the Lehigh Valley, this time with Ben on the Fanatic. Ben. What's up, Ben?
How you doing?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, first time ever called sports radio, but a big fan. Love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
So I'm an out-of-towner. I mean, I live in the Lehigh Valley now, but I grew up in upstate New York. So I'm kind of a casual Sixers fan, but I'll tell you what. The fight, I thought they handled it well. You know, nobody was throwing haymakers. Nobody got hurt, but they stuck up for themselves. That stuff, though, I could take it or leave it. Didn't really change my opinion on anything. A couple nights earlier against Detroit, something happened. And it was the fourth quarter. They were only up maybe, I don't know, 5-6 points. And Simmons grabbed a defensive rebound, and the ref blew the whistle, and I think they called a travel on him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall.
I remember.
Real bad call. Well, then, and it was, I mean, I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm acting like a baby in that moment. I'm yelling. I'm getting all emotional. Well, Tobias Harris walks up to Simmons and just, you know, has a little private conversation, just, you know, says something to him. I think the announcer even commented on it. And, you know, no crying, no nothing, just business-like approach.
Sure.
So the Pistons take the ball side out. They try to inbound it. Simmons takes the inbound pass away, turns it into a fast break, dishes to Horford, who makes a three-point play.
Yep.
And that was such a swing in what was really a very close fourth quarter. And that was like that was just such a difference. That changed my opinion of the Sixers and their championship chances a whole lot more than the fight ever could, because that business-like, that veteran calming down the young guy, it reminded me of my favorite team of all time. Like I said, I'm out of town. I'm more of an NBA fan than a Sixers fan particularly, but my favorite team of all time, ironically, was the 04 Pistons. you know, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, and, you know, well, you had Rasheed, who was crazy. He was just as liable to go off for 30 as he was to get two techs in the first 3 minutes of the game and get thrown out, you know. But
I loved every bit about it.
But you had Chauncey Billups calming him down. You had Rip Hamilton, you know, the whispering in his ear. And I mean, they ran the Lakers, you know, the Shaq Kobe Lakers.
Yeah, they did.
I think they beat them 4-1.
4-1, yeah.
And it was just that scrappy, tough team. And I'll tell you what, the Sixers, last year, they had some stars. They were a fun team to watch, but they did not remind me at all of the 04 Pistons. But the other night, Harris calming down Simmons, and then Simmons just says, you know, the referee took the ball away from him, so he takes it right back. Now that's my ball.
Yeah.
And turns it into a 3-point play at the other end, really kind of the nail in the coffin for that fourth quarter.
And that's what you want. You want to see leadership. Ben, thanks for the call, man. Great for, thanks for calling in to us for the first time. You want to see that leadership. You want to see that type of stuff from Ben Simmons, listening to that leadership, right?
Sure.
A stubborn, you look at a young guy who knows everything coming into the league where he doesn't know everything. And even though he's a fourth year player now, an all-star already, and probably going to be an all-star again this year, they need the same Ben Simmons, but better. A better version. And that even points to the mental part of it as well, and that's listening to your vets.
Well, and it also, to me, D, kind of points to another difference between last year's team and this year's team, right? Where even after the trades were made, like fast forward to the point where the team got kind of remade, we were still kind of projecting ahead and wondering what they were going to turn into, what they were going to grow into and stuff like that. And I'm not going to say that, like, the Sixers are playing their absolute best basketball right now, but I don't get the impression that they have a ton of growing to do. You know what I mean? Like, I have the impression that they're kind of like a ready-made team. They're not going to be taking a whole lot of people by surprise. People know the Sixers are good. They've been good early on consistently the way that we expected. It's not like, oh, how are the Sixers winning games? Like, exactly the way that they built the roster to win games. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
defense.
Exactly.
Are you surprised?
There's no mystery. So I think that is a big-time plus relative to last year, where it's like, hey, there are a lot of different things that could go right for the Sixers. I hope that they do. You know what I mean? Instead of watching it play out in front of you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm confident now in a 7-game series against anybody.
Oh, man. Really? After 4 games and seeing how they've been.
It makes sense. I mean, to me, the way that they play makes sense. Now, I'm confident that they're not going to play outside of themselves, which is to say to have like a terrible 5-game stretch where they can't play. I'm not going to say, like, I still think the Clippers are the best. I just don't think that anybody matches up really, really well with them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if they played the Lakers or if they played the Jazz,
what about the Bucks?
If they played the Bucks, like, first of all, I think that they're better than all of those teams, and I also think that they match up really well with those teams, and their consistency from that veteran leadership, like you're talking about, Devon, is a major difference maker this year versus last year.
610-632-0975. Joe says it. I say it. What about you? Do you get the sense that this is a different team attitude-wise with this 76ers ball club? 610-632-0975. And we'll finally hear from Josh Rabick. My goodness, it's been a while. Every time he tried to jump in, the phone would ring. Well, you can ring the phones, but we still are going to make sure we speak to Josh Rabick as well. 610-632-0975. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, 46, 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock together. 610-632-0975. Then Joe goes until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
Did you see, by the way, before we get back to the phones, only because I saw something pop up, the sandwich is back. Did you see that?
I did see that. I saw that yesterday.
I saw that, yeah. The sandwich is back.
Yeah.
This Sunday. It's going to be crazy.
It's her turn. I wonder if Mike Scott will be making an appearance.
I don't know. We should add, well, they're going to be on the road, so they can probably go out there and get it.
I was going to say, it'll probably be
And Joel
available.
Embiid has time, so he can go and get it.
Will he travel with the team, you think, or you think he'll show at home?
Nah.
All right.
Nah. Well, probably, what are they going to do? Are they going to travel? I don't think that, even if he did travel, it would just simply be he can't be in the arena. That's
right.
That's the rule. You can't be in the arena. So, yeah.
Or would he go ahead?
Go ahead, you know what I mean? And just travel with the team, but can't be in
but
the arena.
But would he go ahead to wherever
he's going to play?
Or, yeah.
Utah would be his game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder if he would do that.
Interesting.
You know, wait a day and then just go.
Interesting.
I don't know. Just thinking about things.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. It's a good point.
Just asking. I want to know what Embiid's up to.
Good point.
Idle hands, you know?
He's
I mean,
up to nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And if you're worried about the amount of trouble that he gets into while he's busy playing NBA games, who knows what he'll do with time off?
Well, good point by Brian on Twitter at Elbows Shaferi, where he said, where they appeal it, he plays and maybe have him miss a game with the altitude instead, like Denver.
Which totally makes sense. 100% makes sense.
Yep, makes total sense.
It depends on whether they could get the appeal together.
Yeah,
you know, quickly enough.
So you do it, plays in Portland, and then you know you get out.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Craig in Wilmington on the Fanatic. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's happening, man?
Doing great, man.
Good. I want to take this thing to a different level because we're considered a championship caliber team. So where my concern lies is with Brett Brown, and here's why I say this. I feel like the team is not disciplined because I'm okay with the style of play that we play.
Sure,
I'm okay with that, but my concern is. After the fight, Joel felt comfortable enough to do what he did at the press conference. He felt comfortable enough to be going back and forth on social media. That's a coaching thing. That's a coaching thing. And I'm gonna give you another example, but this is an example in play which concerns me. It just concerns me about Brett Brown. The game they played against Atlanta. When Atlanta had to go to the foul line at the end of the game.
Yes.
They made one foul shot. Brett Brown should have called the timeout to make sure all of his players understood what they needed to do for this final free throw. He did not call a timeout, and the worst thing happened, even though we ended up winning the game, but it could have cost us. So my concern is, with all these things going on, where's the leadership at? Where's the leadership? Because he didn't come from that background. He came from
San Antonio.
San Antonio, and he wouldn't have stood for that type of thing. He would have had his guys in line. And where's the leadership? Because I mean, you got to see it. Joel Embiid wouldn't have done that had he understood what the expectations were from the team. So I mean, that's what my concern is, Brett Brown. Is he the man that can possibly lead us to a championship? We can't have him making those type of mistakes. We can't. This is early in the year.
Yeah,
I mean
they're correct, but they're, as you said, they're it's early in the year, Craig, and they're correctable if that is the case. So if it's going to happen and you don't like it, as you just pointed out, at least it's right now versus in May when they're in the playoffs and they're really in trouble because of a situation like what you're pointing out.
One thing, how many games are we in now? How many games so far?
Only four.
Four games. And he's been suspended already. At the end of the year, he's added up with these techs. And they're going to try him in the playoffs. But we got to be smarter than that. We got to be smarter than that.
That's why I said I'm okay with it right now. Thanks for the call, Craig. Joe, I'm okay with it because of what the message is. But don't make it a habit.
Right, yeah. If you become If this is the guy then that you are now, then that's a, yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I think it's noteworthy, and you pointed out that you liked seeing it because it's something that doesn't really happen with this team and hasn't happened with this team in the past.
No, you've been tried before, and it's you look bad.
Yeah, it's been kind of that way. Now, when he was talking about the culture and kind of controlling and leadership-wise, I think I always look at it, and I think about the really great coaches in the NBA, and like Eric Spoelstra doesn't strike me as a guy who's like a crazy disciplinarian, or Brad Stevens, or Steve Kerr, if you think that he's a good coach. Like there are a lot of people that, like, Greg Popovich is the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rick Pitino, a lot of people would say, is a really good coach. Rick Pitino tried to come in here and run every aspect of these players' lives, like he did the first time around.
And I was listening to something where they were talking about it, and I was like, dude, that just is not going to work.
It doesn't work now. No. Like, it's just, it doesn't. Now, whether that's right or wrong, fair or unfair, I mean, it's, you know, not to sound dismissive, but that's almost a meaningless question, like, mm-hmm. because it's reality mm-hmm. that this is the way that things are. Greg Popovich has earned it, one, because he's, I mean, let's face it, been around a long time. Let me put it that way. He's been around a long time, and he's had a lot of success. So those two things kind of lend themselves to, hey, if Doc wants to be the disciplinarian, let him be the disciplinarian. But, like, there's no one that really has a team on lockdown. Is there anymore? Like, Jerry Sloan, his act wore out.
I would say Popovich, Spoelstra, because of the time that he's been there and the respect that he's garnered.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that he exercises that to be like
I don't think it's him alone. I think quietly with the culture set by Pat Riley upstairs.
There you go.
It's in unison.
Yeah.
And that's why I would say yes, but they don't even have to say anything.
That's exactly what I think too.
Even that, we see suspensions for Deion Waiters, James Johnson. They couldn't wait to get rid of Hassan Whiteside.
Right.
So even though the culture is what the culture is, sometimes some people, you know, just don't do what they are supposed to do within the culture.
Yeah, you can set whatever expectations you want, but the Patriots release people for not being the Patriot way kind of people all the time.
Right, right. Yep. 610-632-0975. Do you agree, though, that, I mean, how do you look at Brown at this point? It's early. And we haven't really seen anything that's detrimental to the team, but means some people still don't believe that he can win.
All right, so I think that I like Brett Brown much more big picture than I do small minutia, if that makes any sense. Okay. And I think that a lot of people feel that way. Like, I think in terms of program building, I think that he is one of the best in the NBA in terms of, like, culture and creating that kind of thing. But I think that, like, for example, when people are like, why did he do this? Why didn't he take this timeout? Why did he draw this play up? You're right. You're absolutely right. Like, I think from, like, a tactics perspective, there are probably a lot of coaches that are better. So you just have to decide, you know, what's the most important to you, because there are guys that have great plays on the whiteboards that don't do the things from a culture creation standpoint that Brett Brown does in fostering relationships with the guys like he does.
And then, I mean, with him in that culture and all, I mean, we have to see what happens. We have to see if he can now turn himself from the team building aspect that you talked about to now being that one that a lot of people say, can he get you over the top? Just like we just had with the phone call.
Yeah, a lot of people said that he can get you to a certain point and will not be able to get you over that. So
yeah.
That's cool. If you find somebody to get you over the point, that's fine. But they also need to be able to get you up to the point where Brett Brown was. And that's something that, you know, I'm wary of. I just don't think that those coaches grow on trees.
And here's the other point before we take a break and get to Dan, Drew, Dennis, Brian. Two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Is he, and I've said this before, this is a different team now. And again, the attitude is different. So maybe this is going to be a little bit different. The leeway that your two stars, the young stars, have had in the past, will they be held accountable now? I want to know what he said to Embiid in that locker room.
Yeah, me too.
I want to know. Maybe we won't ever find out the real story of what was said, but I want to know because that goes a long way.
Well, it says something that Al Horford wasn't psyched, right? So,
yeah,
you know, if it doesn't happen again, then either Brett Brown said something or
Horford's
words carried weight or
true
both.
True indeed. 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, finally on the other side here on The Fanatic.
Mm-hmm. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you, coming to you from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing. 610-632-0975 as we talk about the Sixers and what happened last night. The suspension, only two games if you're just tuning in. Embiid, Karl-Anthony Towns, both suspended for two games. Ben Simmons, zero. Jeff Teague, zero. So both teams made out pretty well with the suspensions. Both players got lucky not getting longer suspensions in both of our opinions. 610-632-0975. Joe, last night in the game, in the win, where they were, again, very good defensively, offensively, Brett Brown let them call plays quite a bit last night on their own.
I think it's a good time to do it, right? Because it's not something that you need to make the staple of your team. It's good that they're not always looking to you for, like, what do we do now? And you find out if there are things that you find out, really, what they're comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like, what do they want to do in certain spots? So that way, you know, when you're trying to figure things out at the end of the game, where people like the ball, what they like to do, what direction they like to be going, things like that. I thought it was a good move. Savvy move.
I loved it. 610-632-0975. Did your opinion change overnight of what happened between Embiid and Towns last night? And do you get a sense that this team has a different attitude about them? Let's go back to the phones, Joe. Let's go to Marlton and Dan next on the Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yo.
Hey, Dan.
Okay, a couple things I would like to talk about. I love Sixers, right?
Yep.
And it's all about, you know, to me, when I started loving the Sixers, it was the Doc and Allen Iverson, to me, like the man. But if you had, like, can I ask you, like, one question?
Yeah, sure.
If you had two people that should win a championship in Philadelphia, who are they?
Like, ever?
Well, ever. Players. Just players. It could be a baseball player. It could be a football. People that Philadelphia loves.
That should win championships. So, I mean, Allen Iverson's one of those.
Iverson, wow.
People would probably say Brian Dawkins.
Doc, I would say Barkley.
Yeah, Charles.
Mm.
You know, to me, it was Roy Holiday. I don't know.
That's a good one. That's a good one for sure.
I just love Philadelphia. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Interesting question. Of course, there's a long list. I mean, look at how many championships have not been won
exactly
here in town. So naturally, there are so many great stars that have come through here. Randall Cunningham getting close with Minnesota. The field goal, of course, in the NFC Championship game. And Brian Dawkins, as you pointed out. Then we developed relationships with people. So Brian Westbrook, I wish he would have won a championship.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's so many guys that, of course, championships, man. Barkley, when he was with the Suns and they went the next year, I was still rooting for him.
That was a precursor to you switching allegiances later in life.
Yes, indeed.
We should have known.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 610-632-0975.
I'm sorry. The more time goes by, I hate that era of Phillies baseball. The post-World Series. Four aces. Everybody's like excited about it. My rage that they did not even get back, like let alone win. But the fact that
is it because
it just makes me mad.
11-year anniversary, or just because you were watching it the last few weeks?
Well, I mean, the more that I've thought about, because I've been watching baseball the last couple of weeks, and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people
look more fondly even at that period than the 08 team that like won the World Series, because they're like, oh man, look at all the talent that they have. I'm like, that makes me so angry to think about that period with that collection of pitching talent in particular and to not get anywhere. I know that that's not like a very common
run
opinion,
down the starters again.
So you had in whatever order you like.
It's amazing.
It's Roy Halladay.
One.
Cliff Lee.
Two.
Cole Hamels.
Three.
Roy Oswalt.
Four.
And don't forget about Joe Bland.
He was on the cover as well.
Yeah, he made the cover too.
Yes.
God!
They were so good.
They won 102
games.
How do you lose?
Was that the Cardinals? No, that was the Cardinals?
It was. Yeah, it was. So sorry, that era of Phillies baseball makes me very angry.
Yeah, that was tough. They should have at least had two.
I agree completely.
But they almost had the Yankees the next year.
Yeah,
almost. Joe Girardi had his press conference the other day. You know, we were talking about that, and you heard him talk about it a bunch of times. I mean, Chase Utley was so good, but they could not stop Matsui on the other side.
Well, I wanted to hear about how concerned he actually was when Cliff Lee's catching balls behind his back and like not even worrying
about it.
Just like bang.
Bang.
If you're Joe Girardi, you got to be like, maybe this isn't the series for us. And then Godzilla goes crazy.
Did you want Charlie to leave Pedro in?
Hey, Joe. It's all water under the bridge
now.
It's cool now.
It's cool.
Tell me something.
What did you tell me?
What did you think about Pedro?
Like, oh, please leave Pedro. But he was rolling.
He was rolling. Yeah.
I was with Charlie. I don't know how we got here.
Gabe would have taken him out.
Yes, he would have. He would have taken him out in the sixth inning, even though he was rolling. I was like, yo, leave him in there because it's Pedro. He's going to find a way. You only need him for this one more out.
Right. And then 20 minutes later, you were like, whoa.
And then you're going to have Madsen and, right?
You just hand it off.
You're good. Yep. You're good.
Yes.
But unfortunately, sorry we had to bring that up, guys.
Yeah, Roy Howard, I mean,
He started it. It's Halloween. Paul Arch 65 says, hey guys, are you guys responsible for Almond Joy trending?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're responsible for
it's
that.
It's trending because I'm sure people are like, why do we have so many of these in our bags tonight?
Yeah, the Twix to Almond Joy ratio is all messed up right now. We need to find a way to get this corrected before the end of the night.
It's ridiculous.
I saw in some places the curfew for trick-or-treating is 10 o'clock. Yeah. How are you reacting?
Everywhere?
In some places.
Okay.
How are you reacting if somebody's knocking on your door at 10 o'clock? I'm like, all right, that's a little late. That's a little late for trick-or-treating for me.
A little late.
I mean, especially since it's getting dark earlier, well, people go out more now. Knock it down.
Cut the light out.
By the way, the huge violation occurred in my residence, and I'll have to talk about it before you get out of here, because I need your thoughts on it a little later in the 9 o'clock hour.
Is this a Halloween thing?
Yeah, a Halloween-related ridiculous violation.
I also see, what else is trending? Reese? Oh. I have to reach out to... Brian Westbrook on this one. CNN. A Monmouth University poll surveyed adults about 8 popular Halloween candies. Number one. And everybody, we want you to chime in on this. Number one. Let me start at number 8.
Okay.
Tootsie Pops. 2%.
Out. There are not 2% of people that are like, that's my favorite candy.
This is the poll.
I need to know the sample size.
All right. Starburst. 4%.
All right. Okay. We're getting warmer.
Okay. Skittles, 5%.
No.
I'm in on Skittles.
You are in on Skittles.
But I like the Wild Berry. I don't want the original. I don't want all these other ones. Wild Berry is where you go.
Got it.
6%. Candy corn, out.
A lot of people are out on the candy corn. I am one of the rare birds.
Please don't say it.
No. That is a take it or leave it person.
No.
Like I'm a
take it away from me.
There are people that love it and there are people that really hate it. I feel like there are four of us out there that are like, whatever.
It's awful. It's like black licorice. It's awful. Both of them.
That was on people's list too.
Oh man.
They were way into the black licorice.
Oh man. 6% tie for 6% Hershey bars.
Okay. Respectable.
And you can go different ways with the Hershey bars.
No, I'm cool with all of them. All of it's cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right. 11% M&Ms. I just threw mine in the trash.
Yeah.
Peanut.
Well, your bag. You didn't just throw the M&Ms.
No, the empty bag.
Yeah.
The empty bag.
Yeah, it's very important.
I did what I needed to do.
Yes.
Yes. And 18% Snickers.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
I was late on the Snickers train, but it's a good bar.
Thumbs up. And finally, you know, 36%. That would be Brian Westbrook's favorite candy, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
There are 2% of people that said Tootsie Rolls and no one says Twix, which is objectively the best candy bar. Are you out of your mind?
The poll surveyed a random sample of 1,161 adults age 18 and older.
18 and older? These people might be 85 years old. Oh, man, no. Absolutely not.
Yes. Yes.
I poo-poo
yes,
this
yes,
poll.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, man.
Take your mounds somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm glad that wasn't on the list. 610-632-0975. Drew in Westchester. Drew, what's happening, man?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? What's going on, Joe?
What's up? Hey, Drew.
Hey, so I don't know about your violation, Joe, but I know I had a violation as far as my home association. They actually postponed Halloween until tomorrow.
Oh, because of the weather?
Yeah, because they thought it was going to be like, you know, I guess torrential downpours.
Oh, yeah,
and it turned out to
rain,
be like,
right.
It was like a lovely night. It was warm out. It was a nice breeze. I mean,
nah.
It wasn't raining at all. It was a great night. And yeah, so they postponed it until tomorrow. But I
Drew, we had a Halloween parade. It's the first Halloween that I've lived at my house. And I'm like expecting, if they get a massive turnout, it'll be like 30 kids. There were like 600 kids fire trucks. No.
Oh, okay.
That was the parade. Fire trucks. There were probably 600 kids walking down this street. It was insane.
How about this, guys? Paul Arch 65, just to jump in on your point, Drew. He says, It snowed today here in Illinois.
I heard that it's snowing everywhere now.
So trick-or-treating is jacked.
Dude. Wow. That's crazy.
Well, anyway, I just thought that was a violation. I mean, Halloween's the 31st. You can't change the day, rain or shine. I mean, they didn't change it when I was a little kid. You know, you went out when it was, you know, you did what you had to do.
Put the raincoat on. Let's go. Umbrellas.
Yeah, I mean, we'd snow a couple years ago, I think, on Halloween. I mean, yeah, I mean, I hear you. So anyway, about the Embiid suspension, to be quick, I thought of two games. I figured that was what it was going to be. I was hoping just for the one, but I guess they're trying to set an early precedent here. You know, they don't want that type of nonsense going on. So they start, you know, with these two guys going with the two games. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we're going to miss them. You know, we'll miss him the next couple games. But I absolutely loved it. I mean, there wasn't anything better than seeing Embiid stand up like he did to Towns and just the way, you know, he reacted with the crowd, getting them all fired up. I mean, if you don't love this team right now, and I mean, if you're not even a Sixers fan or a basketball fan, you gotta check it out, because I wasn't a huge fan, but they've really been just the last couple of years getting me just way into them, and I can't stop watching them.
Love this team, man. I love it. Drew, thanks
for
good
stuff,
Joe,
man.
You know how I felt about the Eagles at the beginning of the year. Really liked this football team. 11-5 was my prediction. And after game number 3, I told you I don't like this team.
Yeah, I do.
I love this basketball team. You know how I felt once they pivoted from Jimmy and JJ?
Yeah.
And we talked about that as soon as it happened.
Yep.
Once I got back, and I really liked this basketball team, and I liked them after seeing them through the 4 games.
By the way, to Drew, in Drew's defense, I know that there are a significant number of you out there that were with the team when they were winning like 10 and 11 games, and you were locked
Without
into
question.
Every single game, okay?
Without question.
I'll say this, good for you, right? But it is irrational and unfair of you to be like, if you checked out on Sixers basketball during the process, you shouldn't pay attention now, because people are busy and they have stuff to do.
They have more
okay?
important things to do.
There's more. If the team's going to win 10 games, you're like, when are they going to be good?
Yeah,
in two
I'll
years?
Back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
That's exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, first of all, good for you, but all are welcome on the Sixers bandwagon.
I remember having this argument because, of course, I'm one who raises my hand on the non-rebuild.
Yeah, yes.
And I would get that a lot, where people would talk about others who could not root for the team because they did not suffer.
Right, yeah.
Like
you had
they did.
Paid.
Yeah, they did. They just decided to go about it a little bit different, saying, yeah. I want nothing to do with this.
I don't
this.
Have basketball for 4 years. How about that?
I don't want anything to do with this.
That's a price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens with you until midnight. Here on The Fanatic, we had the Ben Salem with Dennis on The Fanatic. Next, what's up, Denny?
Not much. Long time no talk, fellas. How
My
you been?
My man, how you been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. My voice a little shaky, so I'm going to make it quick before I get to the candy debate. I got to admit, it's nice to see the Sixers start off hot. I'm still worried we're not going to have late game deep shooting, like JJ provided. Jimmy, a couple clutch threes during the season to win us a game here and there. I don't see that on our team right now, and that concerns me a little. But, you know, the season will play out. Let's see how it goes. Number two, the NBA, I think, made a big mistake giving Embiid and Towns the same suspension. Because going forward, now every time they suspend a guy who threw the punch more games than the guy who retaliated, it's just going to be an epic poop show. But these two guys got the same suspension. Why am I getting suspended longer than him?
Unless the only thing that they say is that Towns didn't throw the punch. You know what I mean? Because we had people talking earlier about it. Maybe it was just a wrap-up and Embiid ducked and stuff like that. Like, we didn't see it that way. But if the league sees it that way and that was the explanation, then maybe that's why.
Oh, no, he threw the punch. He was just aiming at, like, the Ghost of Christmas Past standing behind Joel. he got bad eyesight. Which brings me to point number three. That is hands down the second worst punch I've ever seen in the NBA.
I was just looking at it again. I said, man, how did he miss? It was like when Vince Carter in that famed dunk contest put his arm through the rim. It was like that. And he wound up wrapping up Embiid's neck because he missed.
Worst punch ever, NBA, in my opinion, Carmelo Anthony when he was in Denver against the Knicks.
Marty Collins.
Oh, my Lord. Carmelo was running away as he threw the punch.
He backpedaled all the way down to the other end.
From baseline to free throw line, and not the one that was close.
Nope, the other end. He went 94 feet.
he bailed. I think he might have bailed before he threw the punch.
Oh, yeah, he didn't want nothing to do with Marty at that point. And then Nate Robinson was in there. J.R. Smith was in there. It was crazy. Yeah, thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. I remember that one. Because I was like, yeah, Carmelo was scared of Marty. He knew.
You chopped him before the candy debate, D.
Oh.
So I just assume.
Call back, Dan. Give us your candy debate.
I assume that he's on the right side.
Real fast, give us your candy debate.
Rep Twix with
me. So Rich, the former producer here, intern here at the Fanatic, Rich says, candy corn is definitely candle wax.
All right.
Candle wax.
I'm with it.
Reese's Cups are king from Halloween through Christmas. You know how they go because you get the different shapes.
Yeah, the different kinds.
Yeah.
What do you make of the like caramel cream things?
I'm out.
You're out on those?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in on those
things.
I like those things.
Yeah, I'm out.
It's delicious.
Yeah, give me the Reese's. Twix.
Reese's is good, too. But, I mean, Twix is criminally underrepresented. That's the best candy bar, I think.
Snickers.
It's got a cookie in it.
Kit Kat.
A Kit Kat's a good one. You know what nobody eats anymore that was my favorite as a kid was a Milky Way. Nobody does the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Because the nougat.
I'm out on that. I'm out on Three Musketeers.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want that. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? I know you won't know this, and I want to put this out there because people might think I'm crazy. I remember it was candy when I was a kid. It was like kind of like a mini Now and Later.
Okay.
But it was a little bit different, and they were called Jingles.
Jingles?
Yes. They were fantastic. They were like Jolly Rancher size almost, but square.
I gotcha. Yep, I'm following.
They were fantastic. And I don't know. Jingles
candy.
Yes.
I mean, take a look and see if I've ever seen these things.
I don't know. They've just disappeared forever.
Nobody eats Smarties anymore, do they?
No.
Nobody found out that it's just like straight up sugar that you're like.
Because especially when you go Sweet Tarts or Smarties, you got to go Sweet Tart.
Yeah,
and
Sweet Tart.
I don't even like those as much anymore.
You do the hot tamale?
I used to.
All right.
Yeah, I used to.
All right. I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. The Jingles.
I'm pulling them up on discontinued candy and gum.
Let's
but
do it.
It's not helping.
Let's find it.
Doesn't show like a picture.
Probably stale when it comes to the house. Discontinued.
Not well wrapped.
Brian in Plymouth Meeting. B, what's up, man?
Yo, guys.
Hey, Brian.
Best Halloween treat is a free Frosty, thanks to Josh Okoki.
Yes.
And
vanilla or chocolate?
Frosty!
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Thank you, B. Tell them. And a fry. Didn't they get the fries last night as well?
They tried to give me fries. I passed tonight.
Yeah. Yep. thanks to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, man. So I got a few different points here. Just kind of got a little bit of a contrarian view on what everybody else is saying. I'm just a little bit worried about us getting a rep with the league. If you look at how this happened in the first place, the Timberwolves were so frustrated and demoralized by our defense. It was just a matter of time before somebody acted out. And it's going to be so important how this team is officiated. You know, as Wilt said, nobody loves Goliath. And there's going to be 5-10 games this year where we are just going crazy about the officiating. You know, like other teams are going to be clutching and grabbing at us. There's going to be phantom foul calls because guys are just trying to go to the basket and nothing's happening. And I just don't want us to have a negative rep with the league or in referees' minds that if stuff is going on, that, you know, it's like Embiid being an irritant or... You see what I'm driving at here?
Yeah, and I listen, man, that's why when we said, I made sure I cleared it up when I said it, B, that I like what I saw last night, and I like the fact that the attitude is different with this team. It's clear, but I don't want to see this as something that's going to hinder them later on in terms of missing games, big-time games later on. And to your point of getting a reputation where Embiid is going to pick up a technical or a flagrant or something like that when it really shouldn't be.
Flagrants in the playoffs, I mean, that was a huge problem for us last year. I mean, you look at what Brooklyn tried to do in, you know, basically mucking up the series, complaining about the ref, like, you know, working the refs in the media. And the best way to, you know, I think we have been kind of considered a finesse team in the way we play, and teams, certainly the Celtics, like, we're trying to do a lot of kind of physical stuff to get especially Embiid off his game. But the best way to clap back at that is to beat them on the scoreboard and then point at that. you know, and like back in the day when Jordan just kept running up against that Pistons bad boys team, you know, and I'm old enough to remember when Jordan was too soft and he was just a finesse player and, you know, until ultimately he got over that hump and beat that team. And, you know, no one remembers that now.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go through it. And their version was these two rounds that they went through and losing in the second to Boston and Toronto. Hopefully they come out on top this year, man.
Yes.
See you in June. Even though I'll see you before June, see you in June.
All right, have a good night.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Chris, Nolan, Chris, Kyle, Phil. We'll get to all you guys when we get back. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.929 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Torti, Devon Givens. Let me tell you about the AACR and Rodney McLeod's race to $23,000. Join Eagle Safety Rodney McLeod, one of my favorite players, in his Race to $23,000 campaign for cancer research. He has teamed up with the Fanatic and the American Association for Cancer Research to raise $23,000. The AACR is the first and largest organization dedicated to funding cures for all cancers. With your donation comes automatic entry to a drawing to win the ultimate Birds fan experience, which includes two tickets to the Monday night game on December 9th, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN film truck. So go to 975thefanatic.com. Donate/donate and make a donation today to support cancer research. I remember I met one of the head of the AACR a few years ago when we did the All-Star Day on the road, and they were fantastic.
So
awesome people over there.
Yeah, doing a great thing here with Rodney McLeod, a stand-up guy. So please go out there and support. Again, 975thefanatic.com/donate. You want to get us? 610-632-0975. Joe, back to the phones?
Yeah, let's get back to the phones. But first,
anything Andy new?
Dennis from Ben Salem.
Got back in, okay. Sorry about that, Den.
1-1A tied, Reese's Cups and Snickers. Then he goes Gobstoppers third, Smarties fourth, Rolos fifth. He says, anyone who says Twix is the best candy bar has obviously never had a whatchamacallit.
I don't remember what a whatchamacallit tastes like.
So here's what I'm going to say. In terms of being a candy evaluator, Dennis from Ben Salem is a heck of a sports talk radio caller. I'll just put it that way. And we'll just keep it moving.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Dan.
Good stuff. Philip in Bloomsburg on the Fanatic next.
Me.
Yeah, more Twix for you. What's up, Phil?
How y'all doing tonight, man?
Hey, man. Phil.
You know, the whatchamacallits, they remind me of them thingamajigs. But anyway. you know what? I had just turned on, so I'm sorry. I don't know the background of your conversation. When y'all was, I think y'all was mentioning about Brett Brown possibly not being good enough or something like that.
Yeah, it was a caller just pointed out how he didn't think that Brett, even last night or through the first four games, despite the 4-0 start, he's seen some things in there still where he feels Brett may not be the one to get you over the top.
Well, I don't know if he's the one to get you over the top, but I kind of agree that Brett Brown, I don't think he's the one. But and I was going to do this right. I was going to bet a G that they was going to win the championship, and I had to bring that back. I still may do it, but and what brought me back was I think that the nemesis of Brett Brown this season will probably be Budenholzer. And I think that this is not. I know Bob Cooney. You know, Brett Brown's public relations guy on our station. I know he said earlier that Brett Brown said about Brett Brown's culture has been established. There's no Brett Brown culture that's making these people win right now. But what happened was Elton Brand made this team, in my opinion, he made this team Brett Brown proof. From number one all the way down to 15, Elton Brand has stacked this team. This team is stacked. Their last guy is can contribute. Not saying he's a star or anything like that, but their last guy on the bench can contribute. But what brought me back was earlier in the first game of the season, Budenholzer, he's a good coach. He can coach.
Yes.
What happened was Giannis got fouled. He fouled out against Houston. And they still won. The rest of the team still balled. They still play hard. And I noticed some things that I'm seeing. Richardson is cold and Tobias is cold. I'm like, why Brett Brown not running some things for them to get them off, to get them warmed up? He should need to run some plays for Tobias. He need to do some run some plays for Richardson because they're cold. Like, I'm not seeing what Brown is like to do right now. He wanted to just happen. He wanted to roll the balls out, let the players make it happen. Dude, you got to coach because what happens is you got to make this team stay on the same path. So when they get into the playoffs, when they get into the finals, it's nothing new. They've been doing it all year. You can't wait for stuff to happen. You got to make it happen, man. And I, obviously, everybody always throw this caveat out there. Oh, I like Brett Brown as a person. I like Brett Brown as a person, but I think he's probably a so-called culture builder. But I don't think he's an in-game coach. Now, if they win, it's going to be because of the talent. It's going to be because of the talent and what Elton Brand done. He surrounded Embiid and Simmons where they don't have to carry the load. They don't have to carry the load. But it's going to be because of the players, not because of Brett Brown. And I like Brett Brown. I'm not trying to pee on him. I just want to be honest and real and tell you what I see.
Okay.
Now, somebody may disagree with me, but I'm telling you what I see.
Thanks, Phil. Always, man. Appreciate it. Brett Brown proof. Elton Brand built this team to be Brett Brown proof. By the way, Bob Cooney is not the PR director.
I was unaware that he got in the
the side gig, but I don't know. Brett Brown proof. Did they lose the Toronto series because of Brett Brown?
No, I thought they lost because Embiid wasn't himself and Simmons didn't assert himself enough.
Ding, ding, right?
In game number four specifically.
I think that there are points that you could point to and say, yeah, Brett Brown should have been better at this point in the series or should have been better at that point. And I think the same is true for the Boston series the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, with the Boston series, I think you could point to Robert Covington gave you nothing for most of the series. Ben Simmons was shut down in crucial moments. Joel Embiid couldn't get around Al Horford, got taken out of his game. Like, I think that it's, if you want to lump it all on Brett Brown under the umbrella of like he's in control of everything that happens on the team, then yeah, absolutely. But I don't know. Like, I feel like Brett Brown proof would mean like you're not going to win if Brett Brown can influence things. So you better make it impossible for him to influence things. And I just don't see that. I haven't seen that yet. Now, who knows? But I don't think that that's the accurate way to look at it.
This team is built, though.
Oh, they're built for sure.
Is built for a lot. For
how
a
many bad
run.
Teams win it? You know what I mean? How many bad teams with really good coaches win it?
No, you're right. What did you think of this before we get back to the phones? Furkan Korkmaz.
Yes.
What did you think? He had a good game. He had 17 last night. 5 of 10, 3 of 8 from deep. And he has some pretty good buckets, some good things, a dunk, some threes, of course, making 3 of them. But this was one of those games where it was Furkan proof, if you will.
Yeah.
Based on Phil's conversation. What are you thinking of
it strikes
so far,
me
and why is he on the floor?
That's what I'm asking. Like, okay. It's so strange that he's still here, considering the Furkan Korkmaz saga. Like, we always... Well, I don't want to speak for you.
Well, take it back to declining his option last year.
This is what I'm saying,
he did
right?
not pick up his option.
So, I'm watching, and I'm like, is Korkmaz literally just like a placeholder? Like, are they waiting for something else to come up so that, you know, they find a way to get out of Korkmaz, and then he's just literally a roster spot for somebody else? But I have to say that he's handled it reasonably well, considering where he was drafted and things like that, and coming in just kind of doing his job and getting minutes where he gets them. I mean, I don't think that you're ever going to count on him forgetting. Is he going to have 3 17-point games this season?
Like, probably not.
But like the fact that you got one in a spot where you needed it.
Yeah, and you can get 11 or 10 from one night and all that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he requested to be traded, which was reported because he wasn't getting any time.
So strange.
And the fact that the reports also came out in the offseason, Joe, remember that he was signing overseas.
Right.
Which he told me media day that was absolutely false.
Okay.
He was always trying to come back. And Elton Brand brings him back, and I think they brought him back, Joe, simply because it was late in the game. And with him coming back late in the game, they had already had their roster the way it was, where no shooters were really identified on this roster outside of Tobias Harris.
Makes sense.
So even though he's not shooting, living up to the expectation as a shooter, he is somewhat of a shooter who has been in their system. He was cheap. And he was still available, so I think that's why.
Before Korver or after Korver?
I think he signed before Korver.
I think so too. I thought he was like the Korver insurance policy.
That wasn't. Yeah, exactly. Just in case.
Yeah, just in case he doesn't sign.
Yeah,
got to have somebody who can, in theory, shoot off the bench.
Correct. 610-632-0975. And Brett keeps saying he keeps trying to grow a shooter. And if you're not, you're not. Though, I mean, that's. I don't know. You really grow one in season and during games. That's more of the off season thing and the reps and putting up all the reps and all that stuff.
That's a weakness in their game so far, right? Mm-hmm. That like they don't have outside. And people were worried about that. And it looks like you know.
But again, as we talk about the defense being what we thought it was, we knew the shooting wasn't going to be that good.
That's what I mean. So far there haven't been surprises, and that's exactly what I was talking about earlier. Is that they just are who they are.
We knew that
there haven't been surprises.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
This team.
610-632-0975. Final segment for us together, and then Joe will carry you until midnight. So guys, hang on. We'll get to you on the other side talking about some hoops. The hottest team in the NBA, 4-0. Best team in the Eastern Conference. Only undefeated team in the Eastern Conference. Your Philadelphia 76ers, right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.945 97.5 The Fanatic alongside Joe Torti. I'm Devon Givens. Josh Rabick producing. 610-632-0975. Sixers improved to 4-0 last night, defeating Minnesota 117-95. They don't give up points.
No.
They do not give up points. And rebounding, man. 56-34. Okay? 56-34.
Is that good?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Josh, we haven't heard from you before I get out of here. I want to hear your thoughts on this before we get back to the phone. 610-632-0975.
Devon, we almost made it, man. We almost made it.
You guys were so close. My bad. But go ahead.
It seems like everybody's in agreement with Embiid and we'll call it the scuffle because it wasn't a fight. And you need to step up for yourself every once in a while. You don't want this to be a consistent thing. Here's the horrible analogy of the day. It's essentially the shield of Achilles. You're stepping up for yourself. You're fighting so you don't have to fight in the future.
That's it.
That's it. An example. It.
Yep.
Well
and,
said.
And you do it now.
You waited that long. We could have brought Josh in for some Greek mythology. Like an hour ago? Yes. You waited that long? Come on, D.
My bad. We're talking candy and all kinds of stuff. Uncle Stan, Uncle Jay Stan says,
okay,
bruh, I'm going to attack you about.
Anytime it's bruh.
I know. Like, you know, it's, and then it's Uncle Stan.
Oh, yeah. That's
Uncle Jay
double.
Stan.
That's double.
All right, Unc. He says, I'm about to attack you about the coconut again. But he's really coming at both of us.
Well, I got your back.
Dark chocolate and coconut is heaven. A taste for licorice is supposedly genetic, so I can't attack you for that, but I could eat it all day. Love the show. Thanks, Unc. No.
I will never join you.
No. Coconut, nasty. Dark chocolate, not really a fan unless it is the peanut chew.
Okay, yeah. Get in on the peanut chew.
But coconut,
mm-mm.
Okay. Sand, you can have it all.
All right, so what do people do typically in your neighborhood, D, when they're not going to be around for trick-or-treaters? What do? When they're not home.
You mean in place of it? Like they're not home for this particular reason? They don't want to be there?
Well, so
or it's just...
Do people do any? Do they leave signs or do they like...
No, they just cut the lights out and do what they need to do
and then that's
and
it?
Roll.
Okay. Yeah.
No sign saying, sorry, we're out of candy, or any of that kind of stuff.
So, in my neighborhood, and this is what I did too,
stuffed.
Was, that was a good stand at the end there by the Cardinals. You leave the bowl. You leave the bowl of
leave
candy.
The bowl out.
You know?
Okay.
And you just say, hey, happy Halloween, sorry we missed you.
Okay.
You know? Here you go. Enjoy. Josh, have you seen this before, where people leave the candy out on the stoop?
Yeah, and you shouldn't be trusting little kids by leaving the candy out on the stoop because you know what I'm going to do. I'm grabbing two handfuls and then we're running.
Yeah, okay.
You're not grabbing two handfuls. You're taking the bowl and just dumping it into the entire bag.
Devon, do you know that I had a massive bowl of candy and I have a Ring doorbell, so I see how many notifications, how many people come to the door and stuff like that. We got 4 notifications before the entire thing was empty. Because I was out at the parade and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's so disrespectful, D, that you don't even take the time to shovel it in. The note that says, Happy Halloween, please enjoy, that was plastered to the bowl is also gone.
Mm-hmm.
That thing got full dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody picked it up, found a pillowcase, and dumped it.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Pillowcase.
It's not that big of a deal. Now, the other thing that I saw, people were wearing backpacks backwards. They were wearing backpacks on the front, putting the candy in there. I thought that was a cool idea. Never seen that before.
I've seen that.
Okay. Is it the biggest deal in the world? No. It's like probably $30 worth of candy or whatever because we got gouged because we bought it yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But holy cow, every kid that comes to the door is literally asking my wife, excuse me, how many may we take?
like, literally, can I take one or do I get to take two when Kathleen is like, hey, grab two fistfuls, please. We bought all this candy. Don't dump the bowl. Come on.
You cannot leave that bowl out there like that.
Well, here's the thing. We have a very fall, like, festive, like, welcoming porch. This year. Not next year.
No.
Next year, it is going to look like the gates of hell are waiting for you if you so much as think about touching that bowl if we're not there.
Oh, man.
Noises, fog machines, I've got it all. I just hit it because I didn't want to be the weirdo in the neighborhood. It's over now.
Yeah, see, my dad and I were the weirdos in the neighborhood. We had the fog machine. We would hide in the bushes and everything and scare the crap out of the little kids.
That's me. And I will leave everyone alone, but the first one who touches the bowl is getting chased off the lawn.
Can't leave a bowl out.
Come on, man. Can't trust. Leave a ball. I did it.
Can't trust.
I trick-or-treated for like 15 years, which is like 3 years too long. Understand? I'll give it to you. Never touch the bowl. You don't touch the bowl.
Mm-mm.
If you were naughty, you take two big handfuls.
If you can think of one person who would do it, you just don't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You did.
Sad life. Absolutely.
Sad life.
Absolutely.
All right. Sorry. Had to get that off my chest.
No, that's fine. See, I guessed it right away.
Yeah, you knew what it was.
Didn't even know. You knew. Guessed it right away. Oh, man. 610
Savages.
6320975. Oh, man. This is great stuff.
Diabetes is real, kids. Put down the whole pillowcase full of candy. Come on.
Let's go to Nolan and Glenmore. He wants to have a banana. Yeah. He wants to talk about Brett Brown in the hot start. What's up, Nolan?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Joe, rookie homeowner mistakes, man. You got to put that please take one sign out there. At least put some guilt on them.
Oh, yeah, I should have done that. That's true.
They would have kicked that thing over, Nolan.
I got to start, like, lubing the bowl up him like butter.
Nolan, I mean, Glenmore's a long way from my house, but I'll send you video of what happens next year, bro.
I hear you. But, yeah, listen, with the Brett Brown stuff, the caller earlier, guys, we're four games in and we're 4-0. Can we just sit down? I feel like the biggest criticism of Brett Brown gotten is that Trey Burke doesn't get enough minutes. Like, can we be real, please? You know, I get, like, you want to design some plays for people, but we're four games in. If there's anything we need to learn if we're going to be a winning team, is that nothing matters to the postseason. That's when the real Brett Brown evaluation will come. You know, look at the lineups for the past 3 years of the team and how much they've changed. Think about how many different rosters he's had to manage. So I think the real evaluation for Brett's going to come in the postseason.
So what? How is the Nolan? We're going to judge him accurately, right? Now, obviously, it counts. How does it happen and things like that? But what kind of results merit faith in Brett Brown moving forward versus more questions about whether he's the right guy to lead the team?
I mean, I guess from a tangible standpoint, I'd like to see NBA Finals. But I mean, again, like, there's more info. I know we kind of gave him a pecking list last.
You mean an appearance in the finals or win the championship?
I'm going to go appearance because I don't know what's going
on. Oh, they're going to be there. That's the goal. If they're not there, it's a failure.
You know what? I'm on board with that. I'm a little worried about the Clippers, especially whenever Paul George comes back.
If they're not there, it's a failure. Yeah. You got to get there. Give yourself a chance.
You're right. They do got to get there and give themselves a chance. I really need Ben Simmons to step in, too. That's the thing. Like, what happens if we get to the playoffs again and we're getting killed in half-court defense? Like, I feel like we'll fly through the regular season. And maybe the first couple of rounds of the postseason because this is so much fun. Like, this is a big defensive team, you know, great transition offense. What happens when we go half court? I think that's really going to be the test of this team.
That's a good point.
The bench and Ben. So that's my question to you guys. What happens if we get there and, you know, Ben Simmons is still struggling the half court? Like, is it on Brett then too?
That's a great point. Great point. I mean, but Nolan and Joe, there are going to be some that point to this is up to the head coach to get him
sure
to do those things. Nolan, thanks for the call. And that goes with the shooting and some of the passes that he makes. If he's making mistakes, do you take him out of the game? So on and so forth. If he's having a high turnover game, like four turnovers in the first quarter, what do you do? Do you take the ball out of his hand? Do you put him back in a dunker spot?
Right.
You said you won't put him. That kind of stuff.
Does that look like a poor coaching decision? Late, you know what I mean? Like, it's It's tough. It is. It's really tough. By the way, last thing, Dennis from Ben Salem.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. You leave the whole bowl out. I'm dumping the whole thing in my bag, putting the bowl back, then knocking on the door, hitting you up with trick or treat like there was no candy there when I showed up.
Oh, that's classic.
That's a champ move.
That's classic right there. You can't do it.
I'm losing can't faith trust. In humanity by the tweet.
That's a good can't idea.
Put some Play-Doh or something in there. Put some slime in the bowl when they try to...
Yeah, let's just jump to cyanide, D. You know, just jump straight to that. You know, like...
Cyanide.
Yeah, like razor blades, you know. just on the outside of the bowl, so if they try to pick it up, that's the only time their fingers get chopped off.
That's it. That's
you know,
it.
Let's just jump to that.
Yeah, you know some light
acid.
Work.
Acid. Light
yeah,
work. Light work.
Light work.
You know, the thing is super glue. That's what I should have done.
Ah.
This stupid bowl attached to their hand.
Well, guess what? Then you won't have a bowl.
But it's made of plastic. They can't get their shirt off. It's worth it.
Oh, man. Great stuff as always. JT, this is always fun.
Always fun. We got to do this more often, man.
Yeah, at some point.
Find a way.
Yeah. The schedule come up for next week? I don't even know yet.
Nah.
All right. We'll figure that out. Come Josh Rabick, thanks, man. Appreciate it as always. Thank you to all the callers, all the tweets. Joe, you'll be here tomorrow for 6 o'clock for the Flyers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Wrap around tomorrow. I'll be back on Saturday at 8 p.m. for the Sixers pregame from Casey's Bar in Drexel Hill.
Nice.
Huh?
Excited.
That'll be fun. No Joel Embiid, so we'll have a lot to talk about on Saturday at 8 p.m.
No Joe. There
no
you
Joe.
Go.
No Joe.
Wow.
Oh, that's
stay
a buzz
tuned.
Kill.
Joe Torti coming up next. I'll talk to you on Saturday, 8 o'clock, right here in the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.